Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we've journeyed through this book of Galatians, Lord, I know it's been eye-opening to me. And even though I've read the book many a times, just walking through it in this way has Lord, revealed your work, your ways, dangers that of traps that churches can fall into. And Lord, how you inspire churches of the first century just as you do today in the 21st century. Lord, right now as we open up your word once again, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be able to hear what it is that you have to say. And that, Father, we will glorify you for it. We will learn of it. And Lord, walk in your paths of righteousness. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Author Philip Hook traveled to Eastern Europe back when communism still ruled. The Berlin Wall was still in place and borders were closed. While he was there in Eastern Europe, he met followers of Jesus Christ. And he later made these observations about them. He said, "I sat in the midst of some Eastern European young people and thought how fortunate I was to be American and free." He said, "As I watched them and learned from them, I realized that they were more free than I. I was seeing freedom as freedom to travel, to own, to speak, while they had given up the hopes that the world offers materially and had become free to be God's people. I discovered that in reality, they were far freer than I." Wow. Those living in communism far freer than Philip Hook felt he was as an American citizen, all because of Jesus Christ. Wow, also, because here it is a Sunday right before our national election. And honestly, in my 58 years of life, this has to be the most ruthless and ugly campaign I think I've ever seen. But it's not one-sided. It's from all over. We live in a country that proclaims freedom. And I guess part of that is the freedom to be disgusting and ugly, too. But my question is, as a nation, are we truly free? Are we really free? Well, this is week 10 of our series on the book of Galatians. We have two more after today before we finish up this book. We're looking at a church on a downward slide. We're learning the pitfalls, the hard lessons that the Galatians had to deal with or that they had to learn. In it, we find, though, lessons of freedom. That is God's definition of freedom. Now, I believe in our country's origin, there was an understanding of God's definition of freedom. And I wonder if it still exists. I believe the churches of America are a big reason why some of our freedoms are lost. And I think it's a lesson we can learn from the book of Galatians. We fail to live out the true freedom in Christ in our lives, and our nation appears to have fallen from the blessings of God. And this morning I want us to look at true freedom takes true sacrifice. Maybe the churches in America began to grow to the world's definition of freedom instead of God's definition of freedom. Well, we pick back up in our study. We're in the fifth chapter now of Galatians, beginning this morning with verse 1. Paul wrote, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Well, we're going to be looking at this idea of in grace alone. In grace alone. And the first thing I want you to think about is in grace alone, we are free to stand firm. Christ set us free to live in freedom. And then Paul clarified, we are not set free to live in slavery. And he is aiming at a particular type of slavery here. Being declared free and then putting on shackles of slavery makes no sense. But the Israelites had a history of that. Remember when they came out of Egypt? They're wandering in the wilderness. They had this freedom for the first time versus being slaves in Egypt. And what did they do? Things got tough. Things got hard, and they started whining and wanting to go back to Egypt and be slaves. They would rather be slaves than deal with the difficult issues of freedom. They wanted to go back and live in their past. Well, the Galatians had done something similar. Paul said, if you accept circumcision, Christ's work on the cross is of no value to you. What does that mean? Well, first off, you don't have to give me a show of hand, but how many of you gentlemen in this room have had circumcision? Probably, you know, very young age. Wasn't your choice. Your parents did that for you. Well, it doesn't mean here that Christ is of no value to you. In this situation, Paul is making a point about circumcision and rituals and traditions and how they're all tied together. He uses circumcision as his example in this. People heard from Paul the message of grace alone. When he came on the scene, he spoke of grace alone for their salvation, and their hearts turned to Christ. And then, as we said, the Judaizers then swept into Galatia after Paul had left, and they said, you're only partially a follower of Christ. If you want the whole package, the whole Christian experience, you need to follow all the Jewish rituals, including circumcision. Paul taught the complete Christian experience comes by grace alone. The Judaizers taught you only have a partial package. The whole delivery hasn't taken place yet. Become circumcised. Follow our rituals and traditions and customs and laws, and then you'll find the full salvation experience. Paul proclaimed, because they wanted to fall into this ritualistic, traditional, law-keeping trap, the church as a whole was falling away from God. Because they turned their backs on grace alone and started clinging to the rituals and traditions and law, the church was falling away. They were leaving their freedom roots. They were pressing circumcision and other rituals on the believers and saying these are needed. That means they believed grace was not enough. That means they believe that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross came up short, and they needed to help it along with these traditions. Paul proclaimed, in Jesus, circumcision or not being circumcised doesn't mean a thing. In other words, following rituals, traditions, or not following them means nothing when it comes to your salvation in Jesus Christ. Instead, we have faith in the grace of God that helps us to stand in the power of the Holy Spirit, finding true righteousness in God alone. The point is freedom to stand firm. Now, what does stand firm typically mean in a church? We're going to stand firm on our traditions. We're going to stand firm on our programs. We're going to stand firm on our rules and laws. We're going to stand firm on doing things the way we want to do things. And Paul said, there's only one thing you need to stand firm on when it comes to salvation. Grace alone. Now, I love Christmas. Christmas is less than 2 months away. Have you finished your shopping yet? We were at a mall this weekend, and I'm amazed at how the Christmas decorations are already up, and we just got beyond Halloween. Anyway, but do you know there are many Christians that dread Christmas and do not celebrate it? Are they heathens? Are they sacrilegious? No, but maybe they had a loved one who passed away at Christmas time, and it's difficult for them. Maybe they had something else happen very negative around Christmas, and it's difficult. They have these bad memories when Christmas comes around, and so they avoid it. Maybe they hate how it's become so commercialized. But if you and I think that they must not be a Christian for not wanting to celebrate Christmas, we've added something to grace. We have said, it's not grace alone. To be a Christian, you must celebrate Christmas like me. Sorry, but Christmas is a tradition. It's a ritual. It's not a requirement for your faith. It's not a requirement for Christianity. And if you make it a requirement, you're stealing someone else's freedom by demanding that there's more than just grace alone. But in like manner, I don't observe Ash Wednesday. We had a lady call Louisa Baptist 1 year wanting to know what time was our Ash Wednesday services. We didn't have one. She didn't have too pleasant a terms about our church because we didn't have one. Now, Ash Wednesday is about repentance. It's all about repentance. Now, for me, repentance is something I need every single day. It's an everyday event. But for other people, it is a very special day, and it means a lot to their faith. I won't steal their freedom in Christ by saying, you shouldn't follow that ritual. But likewise, I don't want my freedom in Christ stolen by someone saying, I must observe Ash Wednesday if I'm a true Christian. Freedom to stand firm means I don't need your rituals. You don't need my rituals. They may be precious to you. They may be precious to me. But they're not grace alone. They do not determine my salvation. They're man-made events that can be beneficial. But you and I have the choice to observe or not. Stand firm in your freedom of grace alone. Next thought. In grace alone, we are free to run well. We are free to run well. We pick back up with verse 7. Paul says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven, which is yeast, leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Wow. When is Paul saying that the Galatians were running well in their salvation? When they lived by grace alone. Not when the church had rituals take over. If you haven't picked up, Paul is very serious here. He's also very upset with where the Galatians have gone to. He fears for these churches, and he says it's like a small amount of yeast that enters a lump of dough that helps it to expand. He said that's what all these rituals and traditions of law have done. They have moved from grace to grace plus these things, and it's penetrating the church at a negative rate, an expanding rate. Paul said, I wish these perpetrators of this serious offense would bear the penalty for what they are doing, for the deception that they are causing. And by moving away from grace alone, the Galatians were losing their God-given freedom. With this, they are proclaiming that the cross was not enough. They are proclaiming, Jesus did not do enough. I must follow these rituals to make up the difference for what the cross didn't do. He said, you were running so great, Galatians. You were running well in your freedom. He said, now you've shackled your lives. And I hope those who taught such slavery to you become emasculated. In other words, he's saying, I hope they become crippled, debilitated for the harm that they have done to you. That's how serious Paul sees this, how upset Paul has become over what has taken place. Are we running well in our freedom? Or are there those who insist that we need to tie our lives to the rituals and traditions and law, or else we must not be true Christians? You see, the century has changed. We're 20 centuries later, but Satan's tricks never change. It's the same old trick. Would the pioneers of Calvary shake their heads if they could see that maybe we've lost a fire in the belly for reaching our world with grace alone because we've tampered the flame down with rituals, traditions, and man-made laws? On August 9th, just a couple months ago, I had breakfast with Kevin Smith. If you don't know Kevin, he's the new director of the Mid-Atlantic Baptist Association, which is, of course, Maryland and Delaware. Along with this breakfast was also a church strategist for the association, and he's been here for a few years. Well, we had the casual conversation, you know, back and forth, getting to know each other, that type of thing. And then because the church strategist has been in the area for quite a while and knows Calvary Baptist, I asked him, what is the perception of Calvary Baptist? What are we thought of on the outside? He said, around the state of Maryland, we are known by this. Around the state of Maryland, he said, we are known by this. He did not say the evangelistic church. He didn't say the loving church. He didn't say the caring church. He didn't say the serving church. He said around the state of Maryland, this is what Calvary is known for: the bylaw church. The bylaw church. Now within this, it's not saying that we're not loving. I mean, Debbie and I have felt your love tremendously. That's not it. It's not saying that we're not caring. It's not saying we're not serving. Many of you serve like crazy. It's not saying we're not evangelistic, even though I think for many, evangelism is more their theology than their lifestyle. But overarching, on top, the crown on top, is bylaw church. Do you grasp the depth of what that means when the outside community looks at us and they see that as number one? Have we lost our freedom to run well because we're too concerned about the laws, the rituals, the traditions, that they must be obeyed? Have we lost freedom to run well because we're too controlling and because we're too concerned about who's in power, who's not in power? Paul called those people Judaizers. The Galatians series, this series, I planned on preaching this back before I even got here. I was still at my former church and thinking about what would I like to preach on coming up. And there was no intent in this. I was thinking I'd like to do a smaller letter of Paul's. And I'd never preached through Galatians before. I preached through his others, but I haven't preached through Galatians before. And I thought that would be a good series to do. I had no idea why. I had no idea it was going to mean this conversation with the church strategist either. Is God calling us today to run free again and break the shackles of being a bylaw church? Imagine how much more evangelistic, how much more caring, how much more loving, how much more serving we would be if people could run free in their freedom. Run well in their freedom and grace alone. All of us need to be very prayerful on this because it was serious to Paul. Paul was upset that the Galatians were acting in that way, and we need to keep this in prayer. It needs to be serious prayer for us. Paul gave us an answer concerning our freedom, and it's the last part here. In grace alone, we are free to love. Free to love. Verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Paul insisted strongly here that we are called to freedom, and freedom is a dangerous commodity. When our country's forefathers constructed this nation, you can see in some of their other writings besides the framing documents, you can see within their writings that they stress that they knew that freedom can be very tempting. Tempting in this way to cause you to lose the freedom. They knew a free nation without God would turn in on itself and start making laws and rules to steal the freedom of the nation. Isn't that where we are as a nation? We have so many laws, we have so many regulations that you have to hire lawyers to figure out what's going on. Congressmen and senators admit that they pass legislation they don't even read because it's too long. Freedom is robbed because we no longer trust each other because God is taken out of everything. But similarly, God is taken out of our churches when grace alone no longer rules. Instead, the church becomes, fill my needs, fill my wants. Everybody needs to do like me, follow my controlling laws. In a nutshell, rules, laws, traditions, customs, rituals, they turn us inward. They turn a church inward, and that's no different than what's happening within our country's government. All those things are turning us inward. What did Paul call this attitude? He said, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. And the word flesh here does not mean body. It doesn't mean immoral sexual act. Paul was making a comparison. The flesh is anything that is my personal desire that is in the way of grace alone. Any rule I set that keeps others from Christ is the flesh. Any rituals or traditions I force on others to make sure they follow is the flesh. Paul said, live differently. We are to live differently. Grace alone, freedom lovers. We become slaves, but to something much different and much better. It's not to our personal desires. Our shackles are to love one another. That's our slavery, to love one another, to shackle ourselves to love. This is that agape, sacrificial love. I am willing to give up my wants, to give up my desires, which is the flesh, to give up my power. I'm willing to sacrifice so others will find grace alone. In a nutshell, then everything becomes outward. Outward focused. Outward. That's the reason why I said, are we just evangelistic in theology or in lifestyle? We are to be outward focused. And I love how Paul ended this. He said, if we choose the flesh instead of the spirit, if we choose the flesh, we'll bite and devour each other. Inward focus always turns Christians on each other. True freedom takes true sacrifice. It is everyone. It's not just a few saying, I love you so much that I'm willing to lay aside my rituals, my traditions, my bylaws, my laws, whatever, so that others can grow in grace alone. It's going the positive instead of the negative. Let me ask, if the Bel Air community heard that we were a church willing to sacrifice for each other, don't you think this place and both services would be packed out? Because the world's looking for that. They're looking for people who are willing to sacrifice for each other, to love each other in that way. The community wouldn't know what to do with this place. Wouldn't Calvary, the true freedom takes true sacrifice church, sound a heck of a lot better than the bylaw church? You're free to love. You are called by the love of Jesus Christ to love. You were brought into the family of God through grace alone to love. You were not called into the family of God through grace alone to live under bondage of someone else's rituals, traditions, rules, and bylaws. It's time for us to have a declaration of independence for God. It's time to find true freedom that takes true sacrifice, a sacrifice of love. You know, those students in the communist Eastern European countries, they knew true freedom. And it's because of the true love through grace alone. They didn't have the kind of homes or cars or stuff that we have. They couldn't speak openly against their government. They couldn't vote. But they knew freedom because they knew grace alone in Jesus Christ. Christians in America, in Bel Air, in Calvary Baptist can take a lesson from them. But it means freedom and grace alone. The Bible says, love one another. But it also says, love our enemies. And love our enemies doesn't necessarily mean the terrorist. Love our enemies may mean you're sitting in the same room with someone that you're having a difficulty with. And you need to get that straight with them. That's loving your enemy too. Sacrificial love always wins in the end. Oh, it may have difficult moments, but it always wins in the end. We are called to true freedom in Christ. Not the world's definition, but God's definition. And that true freedom takes true sacrifice. In that freedom, we are free to stand firm in grace alone. In that freedom, we are free to run well in grace alone. And in that freedom, we are free to love in grace alone. Are you bound by slavery of selfishness and selfish desires, or are you bound by the slavery of sacrificial love? Lives change because of Jesus' sacrificial love. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be like Jesus and to live out sacrificial love. No government can take that from you. Only you can steal that from you. And you know what? As has already been said or referred to, be free no matter who wins the election, because God's in control. He's in control. I want us to take a moment, and everybody in the room, bow your head for a moment and think about these things. Seriously, at this moment, just go to God and say, Lord, am I really standing firm in grace alone? Am I running well in grace alone? And am I loving because of grace alone? I think we're coming to a point of crossroads in our church where we have to start making decisions about whether it's our way or God's way And we need to become the evangelistic church, one that's more than theology, one that's about outward to our community, that they are more important than ourselves. Is there someone in this room today that you have a real grit against and you need to get it straight and you need to love them and you need to take the first step? Or maybe this morning you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart. Maybe you've been trying to earn your way to heaven. You've been saying, if I follow all the rituals and traditions and laws, I'll get there. And God says, no, you won't. It's by grace alone through Jesus Christ. And it's time to admit you're a sinner, to believe in your heart who Jesus is, to believe he is the Son of God and he died for you, and to confess your sins unto him, to commit your life unto him, that you will follow him, and to confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord. And if that's where you are this morning, in just a moment, Mike and I will be standing up front, and we will be glad to talk with you more about it. Or maybe some other prayer concern. Maybe it's time for us to pray about this nation and to get on our knees here at the end of this service. Maybe we need people to be up front at this altar at the end to pray for this nation that we will turn back to God. Whatever God has placed on your heart, be open to him now as we come to this time of invitation. Let's go to him first in prayer. Lord, guide and lead us now. May your will be done as we think about how you called us to freedom. And Lord, we can be in the most oppressive government and we can still be free in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm just so thankful. What a lesson from those Eastern European Christians, that they reveal true freedom in Christ in the midst of communism. And Lord, sometimes we bind ourselves here with all sorts of things and don't live out freedom. Lord, I pray if there's someone here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, today will be the day they will make that commitment to you. And Lord, that we will all be in prayer, that this nation will turn back to you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together.